Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We're on Facebook and YouTube. Check it out. Just type in Today's Issues and follow us there. And also the stories that we talk about, we post there so you can read them for yourself. Pass them along. Walker is with me today, as Ray is as well. And Chris Woodward joins us now.
Good morning.
How you doing, Chris?
I'm fully caffeinated. I've had my 3 pots of coffee. I'm ready to go.
3 pots of coffee. Is that healthy, Chris? Have you checked with your doctor on that?
I'm in my 30s. It's okay.
Okay.
Although I have reached that point where something hurts every day when I get out of bed, so.
That may be too much caffeine if you go on 3 pots of
coffee.
Yeah,
Steve Jordahl, he does not drink coffee, and neither does Chad Groening. I don't know how they do it, because most people I've worked with over the years in broadcasting, like, consume large quantities of coffee.
Caffeinated.
Yes, yes.
Or what's the point?
Yeah, right, Chad's a big fan of, like, some kind of flavored iced tea. That's his
he a big organic man?
I don't know if it's organic, but he's into,
is he a big organic man? That's what I'm asking.
Oh, yes, he is. Okay. He's naturally made.
I don't know what life would look like without coffee.
What?
I don't know what life is like without coffee.
By the way, I do drink the AFA coffee. It's very good, folks.
Ray, are you a coffee man? Or?
No, I've hardly ever had any coffee. I prefer my caffeine cold.
Ray runs on the Holy Spirit.
Coke and Pepsi and stuff like that.
So what do you drink in the morning when you get up?
5-hour energy. That's the truth.
Isn't that loaded down with caffeine?
Isn't that worse? Isn't it worse, right?
I mean, 5-hour energy?
Yeah,
that's the first thing you pop open in the morning?
That's true. I take my blood pressure medicine, and then I take my 5-hour energy, which kind of is a conflict of interest right there at that
point. Well, I was thinking, you know, you're an exercise guy. So you ride your bicycle a lot. Yeah, so I was thinking you were going to say, V8 or something like that.
I take a lot of supplements, you know.
Okay. That explains why you're a little fidgety sometimes.
It's the 5-hour energy. That's right.
By the way, do you have a crash after that? Do you have to take a nap at one?
Yes, but I needed to take a nap at one anyway, right?
Oh, okay, just because you're in your 60s.
A much calmer society, much less paranoid, if we did shut it down every day for about an hour at 2 o'clock.
Think the siesta movement might catch on here?
I'm good with that.
I think it would help us.
They do that in some parts of the world.
They do.
They take a break.
Of course, we'd have to make up for it after we woke up. But
that's right.
All right. Hey, listen, before we get to the news, just wanted to tell folks, our Israel trip in March is filling up. So we got about 80% of our tour is full already, if you can believe that. So if you want to go with us, or if you want to at least look at the information about the trip and then decide, it's March 12th through the 20th. We're leaving out of New York. And we're going to find Tel Aviv and see the Holy Land. All right. If you'd like to go with us, here's how you find out all the information. Just go to the website, twholyland.com. twholyland.com is our website. And we will, we'll probably be, I'm guessing, just based on the people who are signing up, we're going to be full in probably 3 to 4 weeks. And we'll have to close out, you know, accepting new registrations. So, anyway, there you go, twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to your mailbox, just go call this phone number right here, 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES. And when the person answers, you just touch 5. Press 5, or as they say in the South, MASH. Okay, MASH 5, and leave your name and your address.
So you've been 24, 25 times?
Yeah, something like that.
This will be if I go with y'all, which I'm planning to, then this will be my 6th time
right
to Israel.
Right.
So I'm trying to play catch up.
Teaching you the ropes. When your old man gets tired of leading tours, you can take over.
My Uncle Ron gets a kick out of your ads.
Yeah?
We don't refer to them as ads. They're underwriting. But he gets a kick out of your radio hits where you say, you know, people always ask me if it's safe, and I say, don't worry, we're only going to be in New York for a day.
Right.
Shout
right.
out to Ron if he's listening, by the way.
Right.
Long supporter of him.
Right. Well, I know people mean well, but Ray, you used to get – you've been to Israel many times leading tours. And
it's safer there than in – than downtown New York or San Francisco or a lot of
Chicago.
Other American cities. Or Chicago,
it's
yes.
hard to get up a tour of Chicago
Ugh.
Right
That's
now.
That's right.
You know? Well, but it's just, it's always humorous to me when some people will say, you know, they want to go or they're thinking about going, and then they want to ask me, the tour guide, quote, is it safe, Tim? End quote. Is it safe, Tim? And then wait on my response. So, is it safe to go, Tim? And as if I'm going to say, well, it's 50-50. You know,
you got a chance. You might come back.
We lost two last year.
We lost two last year, but we got 90 back. So I mean,
right.
I'm thinking
those are good odds.
I'm thinking you're better than. Better than a 50-50 shot, you're going to get back to the States if you go on our tour. So
That's
tell
right.
your family that. Then we always, almost everybody who ends up going with us, they don't care. They want to go see Israel, and some of them say, hey, if I die, it's the best place to die. I mean, I'll get that every once in a while, too. But, you know, where are you safe in the world?
That's
tell
right.
me that.
That's right. Right.
Where are you safe in the world? And as Ray said, Israel is one of the safest places in the world. Why? Because they take their security so seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll get over there and I'll survey people who are on our trip, and they'll have family members, you know, try to dissuade and discourage them from going because, you know, they think they're going to a war zone or
right.
something. And Israel is a very modern country. It's an ancient country, and we'll see a lot of ancient sites, but the hotels are really nice.
Yep.
And the food's good, and the buses are private motor coaches. And
the security is
yeah,
very
we're not
good.
On camels, you know, riding around Israel.
Right.
Although you have a day for a camel ride, but it's a nice place to visit. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. Beyond nice, it's a very moving and inspirational and spiritual place to go see it. And most Christians would like to go to Israel at least once in their lifetime. And see the places that we talk about. All right, Chris, what do you got?
You know,
leading us off.
Yeah,
here?
There's a ton of things to. I mean, it's difficult to choose from. But
well, that's why we hire you, though,
well,
Chris.
Well, yeah, I'm getting there.
To choose.
You know, breaking something that began overnight. The field of candidates for the Democratic Party's presidential nomination got smaller because Washington State Governor
really?
Jay Inslee. Yeah, it did. I'm going somewhere with this, though.
That.
Governor Jay Inslee dropped out saying
Who?
Governor Jay Inslee.
From where?
Washington State.
Okay.
He dropped out, said it had become clear there was no path for him to win the nomination, things
mm-hmm.
like that.
Yeah.
Really, his biggest, I guess, claim to fame, if you want to call it that, was the fact that he ran a lot on climate issues. He was a big fan of a carbon tax and fighting what he calls man-made climate change,
yeah,
things like
that. Yeah,
that
didn't catch on.
Well, another person that's struggling to catch on is New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, and this upcoming story certainly doesn't help. De Blasio was, for whatever reason, stuck in transit yesterday, couldn't get a flight out to Iowa, and so he did a Skype at an event in Iowa trying to reach people there. And that was
For those who don't know what that is, tell them.
Okay, Skype is basically when you can appear via video on a camera or on a television screen,
gotcha.
Things like that. But the problem with Mr. de Blasio is there was what you might call an audio snafu. We're going to do clip 6 here. This is New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio.
Hey, thank you, everybody. I'm so happy with you, and I apologize. I couldn't be there in person. I had a canceled flight and could not get to you by my time slot. But I want to just say, before I get into anything about why I'm running for president, what we have to do in this country, I want to thank you. For the fight you're waging every day.
That's enough. So you're telling me,
man.
You're telling me that Bugs Bunny is running for
yeah.
president?
He's running on free helium for all.
That had to be a setup.
Oh,
right.
Man, who did? Somebody hijacked that, didn't they?
There was something going on with like the streaming of it.
He'll never live that down.
No, not
that
he will not.
Not that he had a chance anyway.
Right. No, well, this is just one version. I mean, I saw somebody that was actually there, and when it became clear something's wrong here, and it kept on going, somebody recorded it on their phone, and you could hear people in the audience laughing. It was so like, oh, this is unfortunate.
And de Blasio, the mayor of New York, he didn't know what was going on.
He did not. Just kept on going. Something else that hurts his campaign, I think, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but the creators of The Simpsons, they've come out with basically this little musical video type thing where members of the squad are singing at President Trump, and it's making fun of him. And then at the very end of the video, which is about 2 minutes long, all of the Democratic candidates come out and like a chorus line start thing like the Rockettes and they're kicking their legs or whatever else. For whatever reason, de Blasio has a sash across him that says mayor. Like, that's how bad you're struggling to identify people when people can't pick you out in a cartoon. You have to be sashed.
I'm surprised anybody in Hollywood made fun of the Democrats.
It was more or less to mock Trump. Yeah.
All right. So, that's just, I don't know. Like I was to say, the mayor, Ray, had no chance anyway. But now that's going to be played every time he's.
It sure will.
Does President Trump know about this yet?
I don't think he's noticed it, but he probably will tweet about it, I'm sure.
Didn't they test the line out before? Mm. That makes you wonder if it was a setup, because if they tested it ahead of time and he sounded like that, surely they wouldn't have gone ahead with it.
Yeah. Maybe he does have a helium problem. I mean, that's been rumored. I mean, I'm just saying.
Is helium
legal in New York City?
Well, he's the mayor. He has his ways to get it.
Recreationally, okay. But not medicinally.
Thank you. There's no medicinal helium.
Okay.
In other political news, the folks out there in San Francisco, there is a board there as part of their government, the Board of Supervisors. They don't want people referred to anymore as convicted felons.
Now, hold on just a minute now before we get into this. We talked about this at our meeting this morning. People are going to have to, across America, who are listening to us, are going to have to shift to a California mindset.
Okay.
To understand this. Okay. So we're now let's go now to San Francisco, and here's what they've decided to. Now, is this all across California, or just in the Bay Area?
Just in San Francisco. But what happens in San Francisco doesn't often stay there.
Right. Well,
which is why.
I don't know. We see Nancy Pelosi's evidence, right? So let me ask you this: this is what you're not talking about. Some obscure. Are you talking about the city of San Francisco is doing what you're about to talk about?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, Chris.
All right. Putting on my news voice. Crime-ridden San Francisco has introduced new sanitized language for criminals, getting rid of words such as offender and addict, while changing convicted felon to justice-involved person. The Board of Supervisors adopted the changes last month, even as the city reels from one of the highest crime rates in the country and staggering inequality exemplified by pervasive homelessness along Silicon Valley wealth.
Okay, so they're going to call a felon a what now?
Justice-involved person. It's basically a negative if somebody is a convicted felon, thus proving that personal accountability is lacking in America.
This
as
is
I said
unbelievable.
2 weeks ago, while filling in for Steve. Yeah, basically, juvenile defendants are going to be referred to as like young person impacted by the juvenile justice system. I don't even know how you can fill that on a form.
No, that's too long to say right there. You know what? That deserves scorn.
Yes,
right
it does.
There. It deserves scorn. But let me just say on a serious note, Ray and Walker, I know you are going to, and Chris is going to have something serious about this. People who serve their time, all right, for a crime, I think they deserve a second chance at life.
Sure.
So when you tag people with things like convicted felon, I think, they're trying to get at here probably, although this is nutty leftism is what it is that, you don't want to have people have something that they've done that they've paid the price for hung around their neck for the rest of their life. Does that make, am I, no?
Well, I just If you have a criminal background, you have a criminal background. Whether
whether
you went over the speed limit or you,
justice involved. Nobody even knows what that means.
I know. I was just trying to identify as a San Francisco person.
I know.
It will catch on though.
What this is all about is this is not as much about trying to soften the effects of criminal labels.
All right.
But this is trying to further implement the political left's agenda of everyone's equal, no matter whether you've committed a felony, no matter whether you cross the border illegally. We shouldn't put labels on people because that's not nice, even though the labels have been put on by the people.
This inequality, this equal and inequality stuff is just, right, is just misused, seems to me. Like, who says we have, because we have, somebody makes more money than the other person, they say income inequality.
Well, maybe the other person is just better at what they do. Maybe they're better qualified. Maybe they have better experience. Mm-hmm. Maybe they have a better background, right? And that's why they're making more money.
Right. It's just income inequality. No, that's wrong. It's immoral. Well, what do you suggest we do? Have the government take over everything and then dole out money? Oh, wait, that's already been done.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Venezuela,
for example. This is... This is among the many reasons why people continue to say, San Francisco spends way too much time focusing on this, but they don't do anything to combat homelessness and the drug problem.
Yeah, they can't. They don't do anything because their policies only make it worse.
Right.
And they're not going to learn that. They're only going to learn that the hard way, I'm afraid. And the West Coast is, in many cities, is suffering from a growing number of homeless in their streets. And so, all right, next story.
All right. I mentioned this in the meeting today, and I purposely didn't tell you the findings because I wanted to see if you guys could guess it.
The meeting, you refer to the meeting that we have preparing for this show.
We have a meeting of the minds.
Yes.
And there was a ranking out from some kind of website called Big Seven Travel on the friendliest and least friendliest states in America. Which state do you guys think is ranked the least friendly state in America?
All right, hold on. We don't know the answer to this. You haven't given us. And I haven't seen that survey. You haven't seen that, have you, Ray?
Nope.
Okay. Saw the headline. I did not read the article because I didn't want to cheat.
So what is your question to us here now?
Okay.
Which
state do you think is the least friendly state in America?
New York.
Okay, we got one for New York.
Least friendly state?
Least friendly state.
Least friendliest state in America. That's the rude New Yorker stereotype.
That is. It's very unfair for me to say that, but that's my vote.
But it is earned for many. But then, there's a lot of very nice New Yorkers.
I know.
Huh?
California?
California. Let's see. Hold on. We're going to come up with an answer. Okay. New York. I'm gonna say Boston.
Okay.
Is it a state or a city?
State.
I get a shot at that.
I'm gonna say Massachusetts.
Last time we had a trivia quiz, I wasn't listening last week. So I'm paying attention.
I think Montana, they give you the silent treatment. Does that count?
I'm gonna go with.
Good.
I'm gonna go with Oregon.
Okay.
Oregon.
Yeah, it's always raining there. People are in bad moods.
All right, go ahead, Chris. We don't know. What's the answer?
According to Big Seven Travel, that is, New York is ranked the least friendliest state in America.
Boom.
Ray hit it right.
As a matter of fact, four of the states.
What are you looking at?
Yeah.
Four of the bottom five states were all found in that region: Delaware, Massachusetts, and New Jersey, ranked 48th, 47th, and 46th, respectively. Now, as far as the friendliest states,
I wonder who they're surveying.
I don't know.
Okay.
That I don't know. Which states do you guys think are some of the friendliest states? And then I'll let you know the answer.
Oh my, there's
Texas. Texas.
A lot of friendly people.
I'll go with Florida, and then some of the Midwest states carry good reputations, Utah, Wyoming.
People are friendly here in Kansas. So I don't
know. Kansas,
Very, very heartland.
Mississippi.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a homer here.
Okay.
There you go.
Mississippi is known as the hospitality state.
Yeah, that's good.
So I'm going to say Mississippi.
Okay. Wyoming ranked fifth, the fifth most friendliest state. Yeah. Texas was number four. All right. South Carolina third. Mm-hmm. Tennessee number two. And Minnesota was ranked number one as the friendliest state in America.
Well, there is such a thing as nice Minnesota.
Yeah, there is.
That's what they call folks in Minnesota, and they are very pleasant and nice.
Right. I've never been there.
So yeah, Minnesota was number one.
Number one.
Minnesota. Minnesota. You know, they only have to be nice about 3 months out of the year.
The rest of the time, they're in the house.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. They don't talk to other people.
They go back in the igloos.
Yeah, that's right.
You're watching Twins games. From the confines of your home.
I hope I didn't offend any of our friends and listeners in Minnesota right there. I love.
They're not offended. They're happy.
One of the prettiest places I've ever been in my travels. It was mid September, and flew to see a friend in my wife and Allison. I flew to see some friends in Twin Cities, mm-hmm. and we went out on a boat. On the St. Croix River, which is just east of the Twin Cities. I think it divides Wisconsin and Minnesota, or it's right near the border anyway. And that was really, really pretty at that time of the year. Mm-hmm. And yeah, a lot of friendly folks there in the land of 10,000 lakes. All right, you got 2 minutes, Chris.
Well, I wanted to mention this because it's coming up on the it's coming up this weekend, and it involves somebody that's been on our network several times. Pastor Greg Laurie is having his annual crusade, evangelistic crusade. This one's going to be in Anaheim this weekend, starting tomorrow, and it runs through Sunday. It's going to be at the stadium where the Angels play. So thousands of people will descend on the Anaheim area this mm-hmm. weekend, not for a baseball game, but to hear about Jesus Christ. This is the 30th anniversary for the so-called SoCal Harvest, and according to the press release here, and I heard Greg mention this on a radio show that
he
did
yesterday. You know him personally?
Yeah, we exchanged Christmas cards.
Okay.
Greg, Mr. Laurie.
That'll want to be on your toes, Chris.
Brother Greg mentioned that in the 30 years they've been doing this, they've had an estimated 535,736 people make professions of faith in Christ.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
You ever been to one of his crusades, Ray?
I have not, but I tell you what I've done, because they simulcast them. I've watched them.
That's true. Yes,
fantastic.
They've also he's had some events over in Dallas at the mm-hmm. Cowboys Stadium.
Right,
he?
Filled it up too.
I tell you what, Greg Laurie, if you ever get a chance to listen to his testimony, he's the evangelist you're talking mm-hmm. about, and he may be a pastor of a local church too.
Yeah.
But he's one of the last guys doing stadium crusades. Mm-hmm. But he's got a powerful, powerful testimony that you would benefit from if you get a chance to listen to it.
Yeah, and there will be no kneeling, by the way, because they're actually going to have a military appreciation ceremony on opening night, so tomorrow night, and they're going to include the unfurling of an American flag across the stadium's field. God bless him.
Good for him. Amen. All right, Ray, thank you, brother.
You bet. Thank you, Tim.
Walker.
Yes, sir. Glad to be here.
And Chris, appreciate your contributions. Tell Greg we said hello.
I will. I just call him G. G Money.
G Money. All right. And our thanks to Brent Creeley for doing whatever he does over there during the show. And also Fred Jackson. Appreciate what Fred had to say today. All right, thanks for listening to AFR, and we will see you back here tomorrow.